Welcome to Teachers Talking Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
And today we got a bit of a hodgepodge of a show. Like, we've been really trying hard, but this last month of school, right? It's been crazy town.
I feel like my whole life is a hodgepodge.
Yeah, that's right. We're just all trying to get things together. And
depending on where you listen, you're probably out of school by now, but we still have another week of school.
Michigan doesn't play. No. We take it right to the limit. We wait until kids are ready to just, like, lose their minds.
Pull their hair out.
Oh, yeah.
And then we go a tiny bit further.
And then we go a little bit longer.
In fact, in Michigan, we do all of our testing the last half day of school, right?
Yeah, because, you know, they're all there last day of school.
Right. I'm just kidding. No, we don't actually do that.
Keep teaching.
That's right. Well, so we have been at this, and we said, you know, we got to do at least one more episode this year. And, you know, maybe we'll get another one in if we can. I don't know, we could do a phone call, maybe an episode, or who knows.
Hang out during the summer. It seems like you two don't even want to get together.
Well,
we sort of like each other.
We kind of do. Mm-hmm. Well, we might make it happen. We
are BFFs.
That's right. Best friends, podcasting friends forever.
BF.
I don't know what that is. BF? I don't even know what that is. Okay, so before we get started, how did your guys' years go? Do you feel like, just reflecting, like technology-wise, just overall, how do you feel like your year went this year, Marie, with like everything we talked about, flex seating?
I would say this year was, I think this year was my chillest year. Can we say it that way?
Okay.
I feel like I let my kids do a lot more. I feel like flexible seating, I had that entire free flow classroom this year. I was really open to getting more. I mean, I think I went even deeper into the student-led classroom than I ever have, and it was awesome. Nice. That part of it was awesome.
Nice. Mr. Michael?
Well, I think that the flexible seating was awesome this year.
Great.
I'm really pleased with how it went.
You're pleased I threw all your stuff in the
I'm pleased
garbage.
That Marie made me get rid of everything I own and all my furniture and everything. So, but no, that went really well. I'm a little disappointed in myself because I don't think I use my technology as much as I've used it in the past. And a big piece of it was because we had two major pieces of curriculum that we were learning this year. And I was focused, a ton of my energy was focused on that. And so I didn't use it as much as I've used it in the past, but next year I'm going to correct that because that it kind of sucks some of the fun out of teaching this year. Not because that's the whole reason I love using technology, because the kids can do so many cool and different things, and it sets my classroom or our classrooms apart from other classrooms. And I don't feel like I was able to do that as much this year as I have in the past.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I feel like I had different areas that I was working on this year. I think I did a lot of the same things I've done before with technology. I feel like I didn't push it quite as much as I usually do. But you know what? I think every year is like that. Like, you'll have a certain group of kids that you're like, wow, all this stuff that worked great last year is not jibing with these kids.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Or like with me, with flex seating, I am constantly trying to find a happy medium where I am not just pulling my hair out, you know, but also I know it's good for the kids. And all these different things you have to kind of work through. I think that reflection is such a major part of our job that, you know, that I'm not sure. I hope my teachers did it when I was young. Mm-hmm. But it is a little bit easier to teach when it's like, hey, I've got my entire year planned out. I'm going to read the curriculum straight out of the book. You know, those kind of things. When you're not pushing and you're feeling comfortable, you know, like Mike and I feel uncomfortable. That's good, right? You feel uncomfortable that you didn't push it. Well, you know, I feel like there was a couple things that we wanted to talk about at the end of this year. One of the things I hope to do, there is someone I'm hoping to get an interview with in a couple weeks who is going to kind of have some ideas on the coming tech backlash. And I have been talking about this for a little bit while as well, or at least feeling it, like this kind of backlash is going to be coming, like, all right, well, why are we doing this? And parents saying, you know, why are all these kids on screens and this and that? And I want to hear his take on it, because I feel like schools are wholly unprepared. And like, why should we be prepared? I mean, we're like the digital pioneers, and we are just trying to figure this out like families are.
Mm-hmm.
But because we're professionals, it's expected. Like, we got to know what we're doing. So I'm interested to talk to him. But for today, we want to go over three quick tips for you. The first one is, and you might be familiar with this app, S'more. Mm-hmm. You guys are kind of familiar with this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But S'more is a cloud-based newsletter service. And it's free to kind of get started with a little bit. And then after that, it is a pay service. And it's right around $80 a year. But here's the sweet thing about it. So I started doing some of my newsletters on S'more, and I do some video newsletters as well. The thing with like video newsletters though is that it's hard to get the content in there. Like, send in this, do this, key right. dates.
It's a good way to get like happenings in the classroom,
mm-hmm. right?
But like, you do need
and get
some
your students
kind of
involved in that communication piece.
Yes, yeah. But like a platform for giving information.
Yeah, just quick and dirty info.
That's really what it was. It was like, for example, like the end of the year is so much stuff going on. Well, I would put out a newsletter, and then like, oh man, I forgot this, or oh, I gotta make a change to this, I put the wrong date. The nice thing about using a cloud-based newsletter is that you can go right back in there, change the date,
you know? You don't have to resend it?
Nope, and it's live.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
Isn't that sweet?
It's kind of like a Google Doc.
It is. Well, Google Doc would be the version of this that would be a little bit more clunky, right. And it's not quite as user-friendly, but, you know, it still works in a pinch. The nice thing about S'more is that it's really set up for newsletters, so all of the different formats and templates are already there for you. Yeah. You just go ahead and plug in your multimedia, and you can put in, of course, titles and pictures, but you can put in video because it's cloud-based. Mm-hmm. You can put in links. You can put in pretty much anything you can think of, calendars. And I really like that about it. I think that it's really user-friendly when it comes to just quickly pushing out information. And, I mean, really, time is everything in our jobs. The other thing that I like about it is that it has view count for you. So it'll actually show you.
Mm. Which, like, if anyone's actually reading your newsletter.
It will, yeah. And it'll actually send you little email updates. It's like, hey, 25 people looked at your newsletter or whatever. Mm. Which is kind of neat. I use it along with Seesaw, too.
Because,
you know, on Seesaw, you can see.
It shows
see
who's seen.
Yeah, so I send it as an announcement through Seesaw to my parents. You just, in Seesaw, you send an announcement, and then you make it a link.
Okay.
And then the parents can see that newsletter right there. They tap on it. It opens. So I have two different ways to show that parents have seen.
And feel validated that your work is not in vain.
That's right. Not to think like, I did all this work and no one's even looking at it. Now, one thing that I noticed today that I haven't noticed, and I'll be interested to get your take on this. What they added in there is, it's called the Educator Hive. And basically what they did is,
this is part of S'more.
It's part of S'more. It's okay. Right on their website. And you go in, and it shows newsletter examples that were created by administrators, teachers of every grade level, special teachers, stuff like that. And you can basically just copy their template, make it your own. You just take their idea and say, oh, I like what they did. I'm going to use that as well. And it updates along with the times as well, which is kind of cool. So I was like, man, I could do so much with S'more. To me, like, $80 is a lot of money.
S'more features than you'll ever believe.
Oh, boy. Man, you should work for them, Marie. S'more, if you're listening out there, Marie should work for you guys. Did you hear that? Mike's not impressed. But, I mean, $80, it sounds silly, but to an educator, that's more than half our budget. At least in our budget. Yeah,
yes. Almost our entire budget.
Yeah, but if you could go in with some other teachers, if you could get your school to pay for that, that would make it worth it. And they do that; they'll do those kind of accounts for you. So, anyway, you should definitely check it out. You can do it for free. You can make like 3 or 4 newsletters for free in there. Try it out. See what you think of it. I think that once people use it, they're gonna be like, "Whoa, this is really easy." If you're looking for free options, like we'd mentioned, you can do Google Docs.
Mm-hmm.
You can do Pages or Word.
I was like, I did mine on Pages this year.
Sure, and you can share those through Google Drive, or you can share them through Seesaw. So there's a couple of different ways to do it. I just think that if it's worth it to you, like you want that little bit more of a fancy newsletter, you want more options like of what kind of multimedia you can put into it.
Next level newsletter.
It really is next level. Then this might be right for you. I know our principal uses it, and she I'm sure pays for the pro version, and she's sending newsletters everywhere. And I know for her job and any administrator, they have to prove like, hey, we got some parent involvement. So she can do that right through the app. It's just say, hey, here's how many parents saw this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All those kind of things. So anyway, S'more.com, check it out. It's a really great newsletter app. The next one that is a great end of the year kind of thing. Like always
we
doing
did it
voting,
during reading
right?
month. Yeah.
Yes. So Marie, talk about this a little bit.
So our librarian this year, right, did like a March Madness bracket where she set it up in Google Form. Is it in
it's
Google
Forms?
Forms?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, the kids used QR codes to vote for books for the bracket, which was really cool, all the way down to, you know, the number one book.
The champion.
Yeah, which I think is cool. What you basically do is you go to Google Forms, which you need to be on a Chromebook or a laptop, really. You can do it on an iPad through your browser, but it's not as easy.
It's clunky, yeah.
Yeah, and so you go through, you create a form, and then you make it two multiple choice options. And for younger kids, the nice thing is you can put words with pictures right underneath mm-hmm. it in forms. So like for mine, I was like, which book do you like more, Frog and Toad versus, you know, Fly Guy or whatever it was. And so the kids just go right in, tap on it, vote, and then it shows you the charts right there that mm-hmm. you can show them. So like pie charts or however you want to show it of who voted. To make the QR codes, you just take the web address that the Google form was created on, and then you put it into any QR code creator. And that's an easy way to have something set up where your kids just hit a QR code, vote, and they're done. So there's no having to email the link or this and that very easily. If you're on iPads, it's very easy to airdrop the link to mm-hmm. your kids too if you just want them to all vote mm-hmm. at once. But I was thinking, man, how many things could you vote on? You could vote on like
all the things.
Everything. Is Mr. Robinson a good teacher or meh? Or no, but like you could favorite thing we did this year. You can vote on mm-hmm. that. You know, most annoying person in the classroom.
Yes.
Was that sound like a good plan?
Yes.
I think Mr. Robinson.
Yeah, besides the teacher. But you could have so many cool things to vote on. And I know that the kids took it really seriously because it was like this kind of neat format.
Right. Well, this was cool because it was a whole school thing and it was set up and it was so user-friendly even for the kindergarten kids.
Yep.
It was great.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sure you could take that idea and run with it.
At any level, whatever level you teach.
Oh, yeah. And I know a lot of upper L and, like, middle school teachers use Google Forms for, like, exit tickets and things like that. Mm. It's a little clunky for that for us, like, down at the lower elementary level. But I thought this was a really cool use of Google Forms. All right, so this is the last one, Zoom Cloud Meetings. This one's a little out there, but I think some teachers are going
to
like
this. You showed this to me, and I kind of thought, like, this is the answer to a problem I've been having for
yes,
a couple of
Mike,
years.
Mike, you're going to like this. So
I know nothing about what he's about to say.
That's right. And what do you mean? And we talked about this in our pre-show prep, Mike.
The pre-show prep, but I was busy, so.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
So Zoom Cloud Meetings is basically set up so that you can meet with people remotely, right? And everybody's been on something like this, like for webinars, and, you know, you're able to talk and view screens and all that.
Right.
But the cool thing about Zoom Cloud Meetings is, number one, it's free for an account. You only have to pay when you get into some pretty crazy features, like being able to record your webinar for 40 minutes, having tons of people in your webinar.
You do not need that for your math lesson.
Exactly.
Right, stuff you would never use in an elementary classroom.
Right. Right. Now let's think about, why would you want to use a cloud meeting app in the classroom? So if you are setting up your classroom in the fall, you always have to set it up in a way where kids can see the board, the projector, right? Whether that's your smart board, your projector, whatever. If you want your kids to do flex seating, or if you even want to just change the way your room looks,
mm-hmm.
like, hey, I don't want to have to set it up the same way so all my kids
can... I don't want everything facing one direction.
Exactly. But how do you deal with that, right? So the options are you buy, like, 4 flat screens, mm-hmm. and I've seen it... We just did a school visit where they put them in the 4 corners of the room,
mm-hmm.
so no matter where you were sitting, you were looking through the middle of the room, which is kind of a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're looking at a screen, you're having to look at other people's faces, which is kind of nice. So I was trying to think of something where I didn't have to look at faces. No, I'm kidding. That was not...
I was about to say.
What I was thinking about was like, all right, I have kids sitting under tables. I have kids sitting away from the board, all these things.
In your cupboards?
In my cupboard. Yeah. I cleaned out my cupboards so that in Santa Maria, so we have these little nooks that you
reading
can sit
cubbies.
In. Yeah, little reading cubbies. Well, the sweet thing about this is, all right, you basically just, once you've created an account, you just hit create meeting. And then it will give you a link, and it'll also give you a meeting number. Your kids can join via link or just with the meeting number. And then when they join, they can see your screen. And so it could be a live video feed. So mm-hmm. you could have it in a stand, your iPad in a stand, and you could be writing under it.
Mm-hmm.
And your kids would be following along with you for a lesson. You could also have it as a whiteboard. So it has a built-in whiteboard where you can draw and your kids could follow along. So they basically have a mini screen right in front of their face.
But you, isn't it the one, when you showed it to me, isn't it where it's what you are doing, but also the other side is for them to work?
You can do it that way.
Can you do it that way?
Yes, so the whiteboard.
Kind of like a dual...
Yeah, the whiteboard, and there's a couple other features where you can actually write, and then the kids can write back to you.
Yeah.
Now, it would work only if you had your kids pretty well trained, because if they all started writing at the same time, it basically is right over the top of each other. So you'd have to have it where you'd say, I would like, you know, so-and-so to write the answer to this. And they could write right from wherever they were.
Okay.
And it would show up on everybody's screen, which I think is sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beyond that, you could, of course, do, like, PowerPoint presentations on it if you're going to run that route. You could do it where you were showing a picture. And not only can you draw on the picture, but you can also highlight parts of the picture. So let's say you were doing parts of a plant or something like that. You could have all the kids in their own spot in the room. They all have that screen in front of them, and then you have that picture of a plant, and you're able to highlight, draw, label, all those things right there.
Hmm.
And I was like, man, the possibilities for this
mm-hmm.
are really endless
mm-hmm.
of what you could do with this app. You could have other classes join your meeting.
That's what I was going to say. Like,
yeah.
Like when you're all in the same classroom, I could see it's not super cumbersome to bring them together to do a lesson and then send them off. But you know, having that flexible seating piece. But it's when you could knock down the walls of your classroom now
yeah.
and be teaching a lesson for the entire second grade.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I didn't even think
you know
about
what
it
I
like
mean?
That.
Or for your,
Mike's
for
going
your
big
buddy
picture.
Class or
big
whatever.
Big picture.
Because that's what we've talked about before is the fact that we're so confined to these four walls.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
And even the room right next door, it's so hard to get together and work with those students and that teacher as well.
Yeah.
But something like this can, you know, break down some of those walls.
Yeah, especially with like a live video feed.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be a feed of a teacher teaching. It doesn't have to be
you
drawing
could have
or anything.
Your voice in every classroom in the school.
That would probably be the best case scenario, Marie.
and one of the things like with our brand new curriculum we were doing was observing other teachers teach.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
What happens when you do that is all of a sudden you've got to get a sub and the subs.
Yeah.
And then your kids kind of lose out on a part of a day because, let's face it, they're with a sub, right? But now you could do some of that stuff.
You could essentially like listen to somebody
yes.
else's lesson.
Yeah.
You could Marie could teach a Lucy Calkins reading lesson,
mm-hmm.
and every second grade classroom could get the same lesson at
you
the same time.
You could listen and marvel.
And all yeah. of the other teachers could then be observing it and then follow working with their students at the same time as well.
Yes. And unlike like FaceTime or things like
sorry,
that.
I hadn't heard anything about this, but I mean
he is it.
It's pretty
yeah,
cool.
You got it. But I think this is just so more user-friendly for what we're trying to do than like a FaceTime type of thing. Or
mm-hmm.
It uses a lot less bandwidth, I believe, too. I had no problems running all the video at once in my classroom and all that.
Cool.
So one thing I will warn you, though, because it's set up for remote meetings, when the kids log in, it'll ask, you know, it has a little part at the top that says video and audio. If their audio is on, then everybody can be talking at the same time,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy. So I would have them mute the microphone and turn off their video. You don't really need to see the kids' faces on it because they're right in front of you. And if they turn off their video and audio, then all they will do is hear your audio and video. And as the teacher, you can turn off your audio too if you'd like to and just have the video playing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of options with that. There's a lot of little tweaks you can do with it, but as far as just setting up and going, it's not that hard to do,
right.
Which makes it nice for somebody that wanted to just get going and play with it. It's,
yeah.
it's awesome.
Cool.
Using so. It, I mean, there's so many possibilities on how people could use it at all levels. We talked about that before, not just at the elementary class, in the elementary level, but if you're a high school teacher, imagine being able to teach remotely to
mm-hmm.
kids or whatever.
Yeah.
Or homesick or it's a snow day. There's been a lot of talk of snow day challenges. Kids, you know, we had 9 snow days this year, and that's a lot of lost education. You could do some activities with some of those
yeah,
kids if you had it set up ahead of time.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff you can do. And in general, like you basically have to, you know, like I said, there's a code to get into the meeting. Or you can share a link. So if you're using iPads, again, you can go back and listen to our podcast about Apple Classroom.
Mm-hmm.
You have Apple Classroom set up. You just hit the share-o and send the link to all your kids at once, and it just opens the app for them, and then, boom, they're in it. I mean,
That's
so
great.
Easy.
Nice.
So that one is Zoom Cloud Meetings. There is an iOS app you'd have to download for that, just if you are going to use iPads. If you are using anything else, it would just use your browser to get to that. So I hope those three things gave you some ideas on things maybe you could try next year, some things you could try over the summer, you know, see if you can
play around with it.
Yeah, take a couple iPads home with you or a couple of your devices home and try some different things to, you know, make it a next year a little bit bigger and better than it was this year. I know that, like, for Mike and I, going into next year, and maybe you too, Marie, just making sure we keep on pushing. That's the hardest thing to do with technology and innovation is, like, you know, what am I going to try this
year?
What
can we try?
Yeah.
Well, I think it keeps it fresh. I have to change things up every year.
Me too.
Otherwise, I get bored.
Yep, exactly. And if you're bored, the kids are
bored.
That's sure. Right. So, well, thanks again for all your listening. Just in case we don't get another podcast in this year, we want to once again thank all of our listeners. We really love it, that you listen. We really respect that you take some of your time to listen to us. So we hope we bring something to your life. If you have anything that you'd like us to talk about, or you have, I don't know, an idea for the podcast, questions, you can send them to teacherstalkintech@gmail.com. You can go on our Facebook page, which is just Teachers Talkin' Tech. And then, of course, there's our YouTube page, Teachers Talkin' Tech. And there's some video tutorials and things on there that you could find that'll help you out. All right.
What about Twitter? Mike didn't get to do his thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, Mike, what about Twitter?
@TeachSomeTech.
Yes.
All right, there you go, Marie. Are you happy now?
Yes.
All right, good. All right, folks. Hey, if you are in North America here, happy summer to you. If you're in Australia, man, good luck.
School starting?
I think it does, doesn't it?
Stinks.
Yeah, I think their school. That stinks.
Happy winter.
You mean, wow, what an adventure you're going to join, you know, your children on.
Congratulations on the next educational year.
Enjoy educational journey.
Sorry, we're ready for a break.
Can you tell we're off?
That's right. All right. This is Teachers Talkin' Tech. I'm Eric Robinson.
I'm Mike Brown.
I'm Marie Larson.
All right. See ya.